Live from the launching pad in Sedona, Arizona, you're listening to Vortex Network News. I'm your host, Aurora Light, and I want to welcome all our new listeners, as well as saying hi to all of our standbys who have been with us for quite some time around the world. Thank you for joining us again. We are talking about a subject that has been quite fascinating, and I have my co-producer with me here, Dr. Houdini, also known as William Alec.
Good morning, Aurora.
Depending on his mood, basically.
Yeah.
And we are experiencing a beautiful day here in Sedona and hope that you are having a good day where you are. We have been talking for quite some time about Planet X.
Right.
And wormwood, mm-hmm. which is really the effects of Planet X,
right.
I'm coming to understand.
Well, you know, who turned me on to this subject was Sheldon Day.
Oh, yeah, Light of Day. He's got a great show out of Tucson.
Yeah, he devoted his whole radio show to this subject of Planet X. And I was kind of curious on what he was getting into. And his guest lineup that he had on his show really intrigued me. And really
you got my attention with it, and I started to take it a little more seriously.
Oh, yes.
Because I had heard about this 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago.
Well, it's all in the book of Revelation, and when you tie it to the return of Planet X, all of a sudden, all the data points fall into place.
Well, we're going to speak to a guy today who thinks that something big is going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
And our guest today is a gentleman who likes to be known as only as Lucas. And we have Lucas with us here. And he has a website you can go to called Rabbit Hole.
Well, it's therabbithole2.com.
There we go.
And I wanted to thank you all for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks for being here with us. And we appreciate your energy you're putting into informing people about what you think is going on here. Let me hear a little bit about how did you get into all this?
Well, it started a long time ago researching the New World Order, and then when 9/11 happened, I knew that that was all malarkey, mm-hmm. and looking at that, I saw that they had left so many holes in the plot. I mean, you know, even the Columbine kids had a more well-planned plot than the guys on 9/11, and I started thinking, why did they leave all these holes in the plot? They must have wanted us to argue back and forth about it to divert our attention from something. And sure enough, I started looking into it and started, you know, seeing the elites and a lot of the businesses moving to the mountains, the military, libraries, everybody moving their assets to the high mountains, and started figuring, wow, there must be a reason for that.
That's interesting, yeah. So first you noticed that, okay, so you began studying the New World Order, and, you know, there's a lot. Jordan Maxwell, did you study him at all?
Oh, yeah, I've talked with Jordan several times for many hours on the telephone. We've had a lot of interesting conversations.
He's a very interesting guy and also the king of paranoia some days. But, you know, he really did figure out what's going on here mm-hmm. on the planet. And Anthony Hilder, he was somebody I worked with, and Jordan Maxwell, when I was located in Los Angeles doing radio shows there for many years. In fact, Art Bell is the one who copied his show off of mine and came on the same nights out of San Diego when I was coming out of L.A. And then I found out that Art Bell was, of course, was underground intelligence. He admitted that he was in intelligence on some of his shows. And also I ran into people who knew his insider status, because their father was an insider. Their father was an NSA, and they told me that Art Bell was definitely on staff. So, you know, it was kind of interesting, because they have a way, the dark forces of, like, the imbalanced forces, as I like to call them, of taking the information and then leaving pertinent parts out and adding a little bizarre twist to it here and there, disempowering the people. And I was wondering if you've noticed that to be true as well.
Oh, most definitely. Y2K is a good instance of that. You know, they amp the whole public up on it, and then nothing happens. And they've done that throughout history. You know, if you look back in the history of this, you'd be surprised when you get really deep into it that there's a very good chance that the whole country of America was founded based upon this cosmic event. You know, the preparing for this, because, I mean, they found ancient Egyptian artifacts in America that predate Columbus.
Yes, and so, they found them when they were digging in downtown Phoenix, when they were putting in the high-rises and the underground parking.
The Phoenix Convention
Center. And also the Phoenix Convention Center, where our event's going to be coming up in March. Mm-hmm. They found Egyptian artifacts in Phoenix when they were digging deep, and they found Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Well, see, I tend to personally think that long time ago, you know, 10, 15, even longer, thousands of years ago, that this country here was probably Atlantis, and the oceans rose up and washed it away, basically. And that's why, you know, such the struggle to find it, because we're right on it. If you look off the coast of Florida underneath the ocean on Google Earth, you'll see two pyramids underneath the water there. I mean, they're plain as day.
Really? I'd love you to send us a copy of that picture. We'd love to see it here on Vortex Network News and make it available to our listeners. If you can handle that, forwarding something to Bill on that would be awesome. You know, the fact is that as I travel through the Southwest, I see charred rock that looks like it was part of a nuclear holocaust.
Well, something definitely did happen. I mean, something big happens. It's everything you think about, all the way down to the cells of your body, to the moon going around the planet. Everything in the universe seems to be cyclical. Why wouldn't there be a cyclical event? Most suns or stars out there are paired with a binary star system. So why would our sun be the only one? It seems to me there's another brown dwarf star out there that comes around and may have a couple little planets following it and a bunch of debris. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but Columbia was hit by an asteroid on Sunday, and American media didn't report on it.
Oh, well, I heard on the news just yesterday, or the day before yesterday, one of the two. Was it yesterday I said to you?
Two asteroids.
Yeah, about the two asteroids coming in that Arizona State University saw coming in. Mm-hmm. And they said it was only a 1 in 50 chance it would hit Earth.
Yeah, they came by today. But the interesting thing was, I mean, think about this. An asteroid hit down in Columbia, left a 300-foot crater. And there's news, you know, if you go to rabbithole2.com, right there the top story on it is about the asteroid hitting Columbia and how the American media didn't cover it at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the second time now. Another asteroid hit Mexico earlier this year in February, left a 100-foot crater. And you'd think that these would be big news stories, but they're not making any American media.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So it seems that there is a cover-up about what is actually going on geologically on this planet, as well as, you know, in the skies above us.
Yeah, you think about what the Bible talks about, the, you know, one-third of the creatures in the ocean dying. Well, that's because all the offshore oil rigs, once this, this pole shift thing starts to happen, all these oil rigs are going to start snapping, and there's going to be trillions of gallons of oil in the water, probably.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. That'll be a sad day when that happens.
And John Moore sent us a picture last week. It's up there on our website about the Gulf Stream stopping. The flow has stopped.
Yeah, that's what I was talking with him on his show. I was on his show last week,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking exactly about that and how the Gulf Stream is stopping and how Europe is going to get hit first. Typically, they're going to deal with some real icy weather up there. I mean, if you look at the radar map last year of Europe, it looked like Antarctica. It was frozen solid. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Really? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, this year it's going to be terrible.
So what was frozen solid last year?
Basically, Europe. There was a satellite image that showed Europe, and it looked like the continent of Antarctica because the whole place was nothing but white ice, all the way from England, all the way out through Russia, all the way through Europe. I mean, all through Asia too.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So if that's something like that is going on, there's going to be quite a rush to populate warmer areas.
Well, most definitely. I mean, if you look back, it all ties together, everything. I mean, the Bible, the different religions, all the flood myths, the fact that the Nile River used to flow from east to west, the Mississippi used to flow from east to west. The Egyptians used to celebrate a 360-day calendar, and they had to switch it to 365 days. So it's the ice core data. It all fits into place to show most likely is what happens is there's another star in orbit with our sun. Sometimes it comes up and it puts us in between the sun and it, and it pulls us away from the sun a little bit from its gravitational force. That's why they had to switch their calendar from 360 to 365,
mm-hmm.
and also the temperature dropped to almost 2 degrees, and the ocean levels went down. Then, and other times, it comes up on the other side of the sun and pulls us closer to the sun, which gives us these 20,000 warm year periods. Because
mm-hmm.
if you look at the ice core data, the Earth generally goes through these 20,000 year warm periods and then 80,000 year ice ages, and we are overdue for that ice age to start.
I agree with you on everything you said, except for one thing, and that is I believe in the expanding Earth theory that the continents all at one time all fit together, and then as the Earth expands, we get lower and lower sea levels as the Earth expands. I think that is the reason, because where would the water go? I mean, you know, there is no place for it to go. So, you know, when you have lower sea levels, I think that has to do with the expansion of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back 18,000 years ago, the ocean levels were 510 feet lower than they are today.
Really? Where is that?
All over the world, because of most of the water was tied up in the ice caps in the glaciers. See, the glaciers came all the way down into the Oklahoma area.
Oh. Okay.
And so the ocean levels were 500 feet lower, and that's why Atlantis was all based around the whole Caribbean island and Florida area, and through Atlanta, you know, through Georgia area, because that's why most likely the capital of Georgia is Atlanta. And as the ocean levels rose, it took all that with it. That's why there's no evidence of the past, because typically humans live by the ocean. If you look at today's world, the majority of humans live close to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ocean goes up 500 feet, it all disappears underneath the water.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to happen again here.
Now, for it to go up 500 feet, you would say that the only reason it could do that is because of glaciers melting?
Well, yeah, for the most part, it was going along fine, and then I think it was around 11,000 years ago, there was a massive meltwater pulse, 1A it's called, where the oceans possibly rose 200 feet within hours. Nobody knows exactly what caused it, but that's also about the time when Plato-based Atlantis disappearing, and if you look on my presentation on the site, you'll notice that there's definitely some sort of cyclical event that happens approximately every 3,600 years.
Okay, now, are you talking about the carbon dating of the North and South Pole and different parts of the planet where they've gone down and found this red cosmic dust that they can't account for?
Well, basically, with the when it comes to the pole shift thing, they can tell because of the fact that the when the lava hardens, the molecules of iron in it are going to align to the north. Okay, and that, now they've now just found that pole shifts can happen tremendously fast over the course of days. Now, imagine if an object, you know, as dense as the sun, comes up and puts us in between it and the sun, it's going to have a gravitational pull and possibly pull the planet away. Why do you think the Egyptians had to switch their calendar from, you know, it's real obvious that the temperature went down, the ocean levels went down, and the Egyptians had to change from a 360-day calendar to the 365-day calendar. And what they did is they designated those 5 days as days of the dead. So, and they also wrote in a lot of their ancient texts about Earth being destroyed and reborn on a new axis, a new orbit, basically.
Mm.
And they talk about the spiral and how the destroyer is going to come and it's going to look like a spiral.
Okay. Now, I think that's why the Chinese had this red dragon on all their things flying in the sky.
Yes. Exactly, dragons. My point is, there's been no fossil evidence ever of any dragons. My contention is that dragons are nothing more than comets, asteroids, shooting stars, meteorites. You know, when if you see some of the video of some of these asteroids coming in, mm-hmm. they form horns out the side and a tail on the back, so they would look like, you know, a fire-breathing dragon.
Like a devil. Devilish-looking things.
Exactly, and then when they hit the ground, what do? They leave a big hole, so automatically the ancients thought that they lived in holes in the ground, in caves.
Ah, I see. That's interesting. Yeah, I could see how it going by would give that, it could give that impression to people who were, you know, not scientific, didn't have the instrumentation we have today.
Yeah, in fact, you know, look at today's world. Back in 1969, we went to the moon, and at the same time, people, you know, a good portion of the planet was still living indigenous. And here we're going to the moon. So why, long time ago during the Atlantis time, couldn't the people of Atlantis have had super high technology while the rest of the world lived like, you know, not indigenous, but lived a much lower standard? The ancient Sumerians of 6,000 years ago knew all the colors of the planets. They knew how big they were, the positions they were in, and we didn't even find that information out until the 1980s. So how did they know that information unless we were out there at some point in time thousands of years ago?
You know, John Moore was mentioning about a satellite that they found in space when we went up there that was like 12,000 years old.
Mm-mm. I never heard of anything like that, but there's so many facets to this, man, it'd be impossible to keep track of it all. Your head would explode.
Yeah, now, Bill, who was that that was talking? Wasn't that John talking about the satellite in space that was 12,000?
Yeah, the Black Knight.
It's called the Black Knight. For our listeners who want to start Googling this information, it's actually a satellite that's been up there for estimated 12,000 years.
Yeah.
And we've docked it. We docked it and we entered it.
Buzz Aldrin admitted that there's a monolith on the moon of Mars, and that there's all, if you look at the images, you can see that there's a monolith, just like in the movie 2010 Space Odyssey. There's a monolith on Mars, on the moon of Mars, and one on the moon. So how did they get there? They probably were put there by us thousands of years ago, back when we had technology, and it all got wiped away. Because when you think, how did we know that the Earth was round, and then all of a sudden we started thinking it was flat, and then we started thinking it was round again? How do we lose that basic, simple knowledge unless a major catastrophe happened that set the world back to the Stone Age, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like what we're about to experience soon. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that there's any, is there any, that you know of, I should say, astronomical information out there that we can rely on that's by some people that we can pay attention to and respect? Is there any data that you can refer to as correlating what we're talking about?
probably, it's right in your stomach. It's called your gut feeling. There's so much information out there that's being manipulated in malarkey. You know, I couldn't even include in my presentation temperature data because of the fact of the ClimateGate scandal. You don't know what numbers are being dodged.
Yeah, they're changing all the numbers.
You know, they changed the Fujita scale, right? They changed the earthquake scale. They changed all the scales, like, right in the last 10 years, they've literally changed all the scales. So
no, I didn't know that. How did they change the earthquake scale?
Basically, whatever is an 8 is really a 9. So they said they changed it to you know, accommodate for modern technology and times, but they changed all the scales, the disaster scales, within the last decade.
In what way? And
downgrading them, basically, so that the disasters look less than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, with that in mind, is there any astronomical information out there that you have come across that, you know, correlates what you believe?
Well, on my website, there's a little toolbar called the Rabbit Hole Link Bar, and it's got a bunch of different links to NASA real-time satellites and things. See, I don't think, what I personally believe is that they put this information out there. They also put out a lot of malarkey, like the same people who are giving you all the Britney Spears and all that stuff are giving the information out there. They're just letting people who have the common sense try and find it. I think, you know, they put it out there for a reason so that people are able to find it. You go to the NASA SOHO website, to the Stereo Core website, you know, they're going to tell, I mean, they show you all these things on the sites that are going on, but it's just that the mainstream news doesn't report it. And America is so whacked out right now. I think there was a poll done, and only 40% of the people believe the mainstream news, but yet nobody believes it unless they see it in the mainstream news. So
yeah.
there's something wrong there.
All right. So is there any astronomers out there that have come forth with any of this information? Or you say refer to NASA, but are you referring to something specifically on NASA that's available on this?
Just basically, there's a lot of stories out there and a lot of scientists, some from Spain, I can't quote their names or anything, and a couple from Russia. And an article just came out, and I think it was a UK newspaper, about Nemesis being out in the Oort cloud throwing comets towards the planet.
Now,
so
what did
is
you just say?
Out there.
All right, just backtrack just a bit. Okay, what paper was this?
It might have been the Telegraph. You just go on to Google and type in...
Out of the UK?
Yeah.
And if you can pull that up, though. And it said about what again?
It was talking about the Nemesis star being out there and going through the Oort cloud and bombarding the world with comets and that sort of thing. And
really?
So it is sneaking out. And also in the 80s,
that's,
when they
I mean, that's significant. What you just said is significant to me.
You know, and back in the 80s, they announced that they found this. They just buried it. After,
right.
Early
80s.
Yeah, in the early 80s, they found it, and they announced it. They found it with the... In fact, they even show in the encyclopedia in 1987 that they launched one of the pioneers to go intercept it. And
really?
Then they just hush-hushed about it. Yeah, uh-huh. If you go on the site and click on the research section, right in the top part there, you'll find all the different articles from the 80s. And one of them has the scan from the encyclopedia, which actually shows them sending the pioneers out to look for the dead star with the 10th planet. And it's right in the encyclopedia.
The dead star with the 10th planet?
Yeah.
So in other words, you think there's a planet trailing it from what they're saying?
Well, yeah, what it said in the encyclopedia, that it looked like that there was a star with a with another planet around it.
Huh. Hmm. And then, wow. And then they're, you know, they're not coming forth with any new information. Just like when mm-hmm. they found this Egyptian artifacts here in Arizona, I got all excited when I heard it on the news, when I read it in the newspaper. I remember reading the article mm-hmm. back in the early 80s.
And you want to see something that'll really send shivers down your spine? Look up what's called the London artifact. The London artifact was a hammer they dug up that was found embedded in rock. It looks like a hammer that you'd buy at Walmart. Okay, it's got the same craftsmanship. They tested the metal on it. The steel is comparable to today's steel, the manufacturing process, and yet the handle of it is so old that it's turned to coal. They estimate it's over 10 million years old. So how did that get here on this planet 10 million years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, obviously, this planet has been a place that many things have occurred on that are unbeknownst to most of us at this time. You know, I always wondered when I was a child, and, you know, even when I grew up, you know, why is it that we're living in the dark here? Why is it that we don't have knowledge about our past?
Well, you know, I've pondered a lot of different questions on why it is the way it is, you know. Is it greed of the elites? Is it God's plan? Is it natural selection of some sort? You know, I mean, because when you think about Noah, okay, you go back to the times of Noah. Noah's genes went on, the smart guy who saw the signs, and all the people that call him tinfoil hat and all that, they didn't make it. So, you know, we're the descendants of those people that made it through that last event. And maybe this is God's way or the Creator's way or whoever's way of, because we have no natural selectors on this planet. When you, the other night I was out listening to the locusts, you know, I mean, not the locusts, the cicadas. And, you know, those things can make as much noise at night as they want, and the birds don't mess with them. And then in the morning, they be quiet, and the birds come out, and they've got this perfect symbiotic relationship that's been going on for millions of years, and they never go out of equilibrium because they have this relationship. Humans don't have that. We go to every place, and we take it over, we destroy everything around, and maybe this is some sort of natural selection that weeds out all the, you know, all the people that are stuck to the TV and that sort of thing. Who knows?
Hmm. Sobering thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, you know, we are doing an expo that we hope you can attend and be a part of. I'd love for you to have a table there and share your information. And you have DVDs out, too. You have a DVD out on the subject. Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about your DVD?
Okay, well, it's kind of interesting. It started out, I had done a you know, an HTML presentation on a disc to show my friends, and I ended up showing Harlan, the owner of Brave New Bookstore. I showed him the presentation, and he was all, like, real skeptical at first, and then when he saw it, he was real blown away. So he's like, I want you to show that to a few of my friends. So I agreed to it. Well, I came down there, and it was, like, over 100 people there, and they filmed it, and it was put on YouTube, and it took off. So what I did... what happened is somebody decided, some criminals decided to take it in their own to try and market my product without my permission, and I had to have that stopped, so I got it copyrighted and now sell from the website, and it's definitely worth it. Everybody seems to love it so far. It's woken up a lot of people, even people that don't even believe some of the minor conspiracies. When they see this, they're pretty shocked by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get Bill and I hope to get a chance to see it soon and have you back so we can discuss some mm-hmm. of the
well, we might
information
have to have
in
a
the
little
video.
Theater. We might have to have a little theater at this expo.
Yes, we're thinking about having a DVD theater there, you know, where we can show all these little documentaries that people have put together. And I think that would be where it's at there, is for us to have a little theater where everybody can give a little talk and show their documentaries. Mm-hmm. Documentaries. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, I always say it the wrong accent. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I can say linoleum now. I couldn't say that when I was five, so I figure I'm progressing. Maybe slowly, but... all right, so, you know, the expo that Bill and I are putting together is called the I Am Ready Expo. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have the cutting-edge information here about what's going on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're hoping to get you know, some interesting sponsors there, you know, and some really cool products, you know, like these underground shelters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so if you have some people in mind, I'll email us, let us know about them, that, mm-hmm. that you feel would like to have be a part of this. It's really going to be an exciting event here in Phoenix, March 18th, 19th, and 20th mm-hmm. at the
Those
Phoenix
the
Convention Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm. 3 days.
Interesting.
Yeah, and we're also planning on doing one in your neck of the woods in San Antonio.
Cool. It's a great place around here. Austin is like the conspiracy hub of the country.
Oh, yes.
This is where... this is where a lot of those radio shows you hear on the internet come from. About mm-hmm. probably about 60% of them originated here out of Austin.
Really? What ones besides Alex Jones?
Well, you got the Oracle Broadcasting. You got RBN. You got all kinds of things coming out of here. And a lot of little micro stations. So there's a lot of patriotism here in Austin.
How far away are you from San Antonio by car?
About an hour and a half. I was going to say the first Tea Party. I was at the first real Tea Party back before Fox News. See, the Tea Party started out up in Boston. They dumped the 9/11 Commission into the Boston Harbor, and then Austin had the next one, right? And the police expected a few dozen people to show up, and thousands showed up. Mm. And then after that, then Fox News decided to jump in there and Glenn Beck the whole thing, and
mm-hmm.
now it's they've divided and conquered the Tea Party into
yes they did.
Well, we're debating as to where to have it here in Texas, but I was thinking San Antonio, isn't it a little bigger hub than Austin?
Yeah, it's bigger, but you're gonna Austin's definitely much more of the patriotic town here. It's there's a lot of people around here that support that.
Well,
sort
we'll
of
have
thing.
To maybe mm-hmm. reconsider and maybe do something in Austin.
Well, we're looking for a 40,000-foot convention center, square mm. foot.
Yeah,
if they have something around there that would be terrific.
Right.
Well, I know that William Rodriguez. Would do his stuff at the UT College. He would do it. He would get the hall there at the college, and it was pretty big.
Hmm.
I don't know how big it was exactly, but you might want to check into that.
Uh huh. All right. What city is that in Austin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, we're looking around. So, and if those of you listening would like to volunteer for the event or attend the event, make sure you get in touch with us, get on our email list so we can get back with you on how we're progressing on all our plans here. So, but we are planning on doing about 5 cities around the U.S. and accumulating with one over in Honolulu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the focus is going to be on these underground shelters and all the support systems. Okay,
oh,
towards
go.
These shelters. So, mm-hmm. You know, aquaponics, hydroponic systems, power systems, food storage, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we have a lot of time. Well, you know, we have some time left. It's getting mm-hmm. crazier and crazier. A lot of stuff's happening that they're not talking about in the news, that's for sure.
Well, mm-hmm. keep us informed here. Make sure you email Vortex Network News to keep us updated on all the latest events, and we'll have you on periodically talking about what's going on here so our readers can be kept up to date.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so, you know, those of you out there who have time. Those of you who are out there who are wondering, you know, what you can do to prepare for this, what would you say? First of all, moving to a higher elevation would be wise, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. The thing is, a lot of the people that already are in and now have a lot of that higher elevation taken up. I would say I just said talk to a... one of the world's leading geomorphologists. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I emailed him and asked him. I gave him a scenario about a 2,000-meter wave hitting the East Coast and how fast it would travel once it hit land. And he said it wouldn't travel much more than 100 kilometers an hour. So if a big, giant wave were to hit the East Coast, then it would take, you know, a dozen hours to get to, you know, Texas here. And so there'd be some leeway time if that kind of scenario happened. Mm-hmm. But preparation, learn how to make your own stuff. You know, learn how to make a water filter out of a 2-liter bottle and charcoal and rocks and sand rather than, you know, because you can only buy so many water filters on the Internet. Once the Internet's down, you ain't going to be able to buy those water filters anymore. So learn how to make your own things and catch your own things, and that's the way to go.
Well, we're planning on having those people selling those products where people can come up hands-on, touch mm-hmm. the products, decide which one they want, you know, right there, try them out. They won't have to buy them just off the Internet, you know. So that's our objective, is to have these people offer these products, gathered together, doing mm-hmm. demonstrations for people, letting them have this experience rather than being isolated in their homes, not connecting to one another. And we're starting a magazine, an internet magazine, as well as a paper magazine, the I Am Ready magazine. And it'll have in there all these people with these products. So it's a resource guide along with the I Am Ready store. That people can sell their stuff at, you know, and be able to be brought together in the community, because we need a central hub to be able to network through. And that's what we're hoping to become for people, is that then they have a place to turn. So they don't all feel like they're out on their own. There's nowhere to turn. There's mm-hmm. nobody who cares.
Well, another thing we want to get into are these co-ops, okay, with these shelters. And the idea is to sell co-ops and bring and create communities for these underground shelters.
Yeah, we have a community in mind right now that's in Paulden. It's about, what is it, 3,000-foot elevation out there in Paulden?
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's on a few acres. There's a room there for to sleep 50 above ground. Mm. And then we thought, and there's a mountains range right next to it that underground shelters could be built into. And, you know, we're looking into this as one of our properties. And, you know, there's other places like that in Arizona that we're looking at right now that we like quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important not to be close to any radiation, what do you call it, nuclear power plants. That's really important.
Yeah, it's probably not, you know, one thing that people need to realize is in every disaster movie they show, pretty much, they always show people outside the gate, pounding on the gate, begging to be let in, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not what people want to do. They're just, you know, this is not a movie. They're going to have shoot-to-kill orders, and, you know, if you're trying to get into their underground bunkers up there, those elites, they're going to... they will have no problem with exterminating everybody outside. So, you know, I was originally going to move to Colorado, and that's another reason why I didn't, because I realized there's going to be carnage up there. There's going to be a lot of people running there, and there's going to be a lack of food, and, you know, people need to make their own way rather than trying to rely off of these rich people who obviously have their own plan.
Mm-hmm. Right. I hear the underground bunkers, the government has a... enough room for 2 million people.
Well, you know, in the movie 2012, they built these arcs, these the government built these massive arcs. Well, they built these arcs. They're called underground bases and underground cities. So the government is ready. They're ready for this.
Oh, yeah. One thing that people, I think, have forgotten to do and when watching all these movies, they watch the plot of these movies, but they don't look at the moral of the story. And the moral of all these stories, whether it be Deep Impact, Armageddon, you know, the new one called Knowing, they all are about sacrifice your life for the kids. You know, just like in Deep Impact, they did a lottery for the kids. That's probably what they're going to do. They're probably going to wait till the last minute until this thing appears in the sky and they can't deny it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to say, well, there's a lottery for everybody that's under 20 years old. And that's just, you know, and that's just the way it is. And
right.
And that's most likely how it's going to go down, I would suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be interesting. I don't know about if that would be able to happen. I don't think people would allow themselves to be separated from their children. And that would be questionable if that would work here in the United States. But
well, that's why they made CPS such a strong entity over the last 20 years.
Maybe
that's why they're, you know, that's why CPS has the strongest. You know, they've been dissecting the family throughout the schools, and you know, disassociating the children with their, you know, with their family, and giving CPS all this power.
Right.
And that's probably what it's going to be used
now,
for.
Now, CPS Central Public Schools or something. What are you talking?
No, you know, they'll probably use CPS to say, "Hey, this is in your child's best interest." You know.
What is CPS?
Child Protective Services.
Oh, okay. All right. So, okay, yes, they are huge. They have gotten huge these last 25 years.
And so, they have more rights than, you know, they can come in your house without a warrant. Unlike a police officer, they can come in your house without a warrant and take your children. So,
that's a lot of power.
I mean,
that's power.
You know, that's,
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're ready. You know, the government's ready.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of movies. There's what was it? There's another movie that was just out where there's a TV show called Jericho or Jeremiah or something like that where all the adults have died off on the planet and it's just all the kids left. You know, Children of the Corn. There's just so many different movies out there depicting, you know, that was Hitler's master plan, was to eliminate all the adults and raise the children up believing what they wanted them to believe.
Hmm.
You look at the murals out at the Denver airport, you don't find any adults in the murals. It's all children.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. Have you seen the DVD that a gal made about 20 years ago called Pandora's Box?
That sounds familiar. I've seen so many DVDs and documentaries. They've kind of all mulched together into
one. All right. Well, Denver, it's on the Denver airport specifically. It's called Pandora's Box. I recommend everybody check it out. It's probably on YouTube these days. Anyway, he was interviewing the gal who made it 20 years ago. And we were talking about this Denver airport scenario, these murals, how devastatingly hideous they are, you know, with all this death and destruction portrayed in them.
Yeah, and if you say bomb anywhere near a plane, you know, you get carted off, but yet they have all these murals depicting death and destruction right before you get on an airplane.
Yeah, what is that about?
It's just, you know, communication. I think it's have you all noticed how movies have lost their plots? There's no plots in any movies anymore.
They're all
remakes. Because I personally believe that the powers that be are using them to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in, when you get a chance, if you really want to get your mind blown, just go on to YouTube and type in 9/11 in Wonderland. It's a little video I did that's two parts. It'll show you so many instances of 9/11 in movies right before 9/11, and then afterwards it just stops. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of instances. It's quite amazing.
Of what? I didn't get it.
Of 9/11, being in movies in various ways, whether clocks set to 9/11, you know, dates. It's absolutely amazing. You'll have to watch the video.
Really? That's bizarre. Please write that down so we can check that out, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll check
9/11 in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Freaky. Freaky, freaky. So, you know, they did pick that 9/11 date for a reason, too, because, you know, that's the emergency number, right?
Well, 9/11 is the New Year's date for the Coptic calendar that they used to use in Egyptian times when the days were 360. That was the New Year's day, and that's what this is all about. It's the New Year of the Coptic calendar. It dates back far. Fox News was founded by a company called the Sun Pictorial, which was founded on September 11th, 1922. You know, September 11th goes way back, I mean, throughout history with historical things. It's quite amazing.
That's wild. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, remember Condoleezza Rice said, we could never imagine them flying planes into buildings, but yet, believe it or not, on September 11th in the year 1995, a guy named, James Corridor stole a Cessna airplane and tried to crash it into the White House and killed Bill Clinton. And that happened on September 11th.
Oh,
but yet
really?
They could never imagine them flying planes into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to wonder if that guy was one of the mind control guys. If he was mind-controlled.
They're out there. They're definitely out there.
I was watching an old movie about Larry Flint the other night on Showtime, and I couldn't believe, you know, when I was watching it, how clear it was to me that the CIA, the FBI, was involved in trying to assassinate him. And he went on to, because he was offered $1 million for JFK's, a tip on somebody who knew something about the JFK murder. And so they decided to try and murder him. He went on to have 29 magazines afterwards. You know, we're living in a time where up is down, right is left. Everything's backwards, upside down. It's crazy times. It's Looney Tunes. It's like, look over here, why we're over here. And we know the truth. You're only allowed to know a little glimpse of it, and that's enough for you.
Yes, we are in definitely crazy times, and I think it's going to get much crazier. It's all just to keep everybody diverted. All these conspiracies relate to one conspiracy. See, if you look back and you realize the history, it's, you know, like of World War II. You know, they even show you in Indiana Jones, the Nazis were looking for ancient artifacts. They were looking for Atlantis. They were looking for the Holy Grail and,
oh, yes,
and all that stuff. And see, what happened is, while American companies like the Harrimans and those guys, they funded the thing, and, you know, Dodge and those companies, they provided all the military equipment. And so while the whole war was going on, they were out there taking over places, searching for archaeological objects, trying to find out the origins of the destroyer. See, the swastika is not a German symbol. It comes from ancient India, and I believe it's the symbol of the destroyer, the cosmic event, and that's why they adopted that symbol. So what happened is, once they found what they were looking for, the elites ended the war. They, you know, they gave some people to the wolves at the Nuremberg trials. They took all the big wigs like Hitler and his cronies down to South America, where they lived until they died of old age.
Right.
And they brought all the scientists to America under Operation Paperclip, and basically started NASA and all the organizations to start preparing for this event.
Well, you know, I give a talk on German anti-gravity studies. Okay.
Yeah, Bill gave a fabulous talk on that.
Yeah, back in the 40s, they also developed anti-gravity. Now, you go into a fair amount of detail about how they did it.
Yeah, I was just watching a show on the Bell last night. Yeah.
Right, yes. And the Bell device escaped, you know, the scientists that developed it, okay, they escaped down to Argentina, okay, with the Bell device.
What were you watching on the Bell last night?
It was something on the History Channel. I forget the name of it, but
oh,
it, was,
we
it could
that.
Have been Bill Burns.
Yeah, Bill Burns.
You know, his UFO program.
Another opposite.
Because he interviewed Igor Witkowski, who wrote the book on it.
Yes.
You know, the
we have a lot of operatives, you know, who are putting out information, and you don't know if they're leaving out the most important things.
Well,
or what's
Bill
going
Burns
on.
Did not go into a whole lot of detail with the Bell device. He could have.
Well, there are good rich people and there are bad rich people, just as well as there are good poor people and there are good, you know, bad people.
I'm not
poor
talking
people,
about money. I'm talking about CIA undercover operatives.
Yeah, so, I mean, whether they're, you know, rich, poor, whatever they are, there are good ones and there are bad ones, and there are people who are working to get this information out, mm-hmm. and there are also other people working to keep it under wraps because they figure that they're going to take over
well,
after the whole
few
fact.
People realize that the History Channel, the Biography Channel, the Discovery Channel, those are all black op-owned channels.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of the Titanic, there is well enough evidence to open an investigation into that whole thing with J.P. Morgan. You know, for most people have no idea that the story of the Titanic was written in a book called The Titan,
right.
14 years before the Titanic sank, and it was the exact same story. So then all of a sudden, J.P. Morgan and these guys meet at Jekyll Island in 2010. J.P. Morgan builds a ship called the Titanic.
You mean 1910, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, builds a ship called the Titanic, deems it unsinkable, invites all the rich people who opposed the Federal Reserve on it, and then sank it to the bottom.
See that?
And then the very next year, the Federal Reserve was formed.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so there's so much coincidence. Longingly, you have to ask yourself if, you know, we've heard the real story or not.
Well, I heard that the people who were on the Titanic were the rich people. They got evacuated into the lifeboats. It was the poorer people that didn't get saved.
Oh, yeah, there was definitely more poor people, but the rich people that did die, like the Astor, John Astor III, he was opposed to the Federal Reserve, and he was a highly influential person in this world.
Oh, yeah, he was well-loved.
Well, then he was out of the picture, and then the mm-hmm. Federal Reserve was formed the very next year.
Yeah, he was well-liked, John Astor, and that makes sense, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, you don't have any empirical proof of it because it was obviously 100 years ago, but, you know, the evidence leads to the fact because of the people involved, J.P. Morgan and Milton Hershey decided not to go, and they go on to build this big banking and food, and Milton Hershey builds this big food empire. So, you know,
why the opposition? The opposition is now washed to sea.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, J.P. Morgan cuts his funding with Tesla around that time.
Yeah, he cut his funding with Tesla, J.P. Morgan, right around that time, too.
So they've been manipulating this thing for a long time. If they found the Egyptian artifacts that predate Columbus, and I also suspect that that's what the original founder of the Mormons found, because it had Egyptian-type artifacts on it,
mm-hmm.
that these people, you know, the Egyptian artifact, I mean, hieroglyphs, originated from here a long time ago, thousands of years ago. And then once the Atlantis thing happened, those people spread out. They made Easter Island. They made Angkor Wat and the Great Pyramids and the Sphinx. I mean, the Sphinx is obviously much older than what they tell us it is. Most likely used to have a lion's head on it, because the head on it's a very small head. It's a pharaoh
right.
that recarved it, and that would tell you that that thing is from the age of Leo.
Wow.
Astrology used to be based upon time measurement, not, you know, reading the stars and all that. It used to be based upon the measurement of time. We're in we're in Pisces now, coming into Aquarius. We used to be in Aries. Jesus brought in the age of Pisces, the fisher of men. Mm-hmm. Aries was brought in by Moses, the he cast out the golden bull, ended the age of a Taurus, brought in the age of Aries by blowing the ram's horn and putting the lamb's blood on the door. So there's all these symbolic figures that come with the different ages, and mm-hmm. and we're moving into the age of Aquarius now.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess we go backwards then. Through the astral.
Yeah, it goes back in the procession of the equinoxes. Okay. Yes, it does. It researched the procession of the equinoxes. That's pretty much what almost proves that there's a dual star, that there's another star in orbit, because that's what causes the procession of the equinoxes, is the fact that our star is in a binary orbit with another star.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish we had more time, but unfortunately, we are out of time for this hour,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like there's so much more we could talk about. We've just scratched the surface. But I thank you so much for sharing this information, and I invite people to go to your website, check it out, pick up the DVD, educate your friends, your family, your neighbors, pass the DVD around, have a little fun, and educate some people. At the same time, you'll blow their minds. You can watch their jaws drop, their eyes spin around. It'll be entertaining.
yeah, I was going to say the website address is www.rabbithole2. That's the number 2.com. That's rabbithole2.com.
Right, and you know, there's nothing like the truth to really get you going, folks. So, God bless you all. Thank you for being on. And
thank you, Lucas.
Thank you. Take care.
I want to thank Bill Alex for helping me produce this show today. And
Stay tuned
for the Progressive Tech Hour. Bill's got an exciting guest on. Who do you have on this week?
John DiNardo.
John DiNardo.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
More about Planet X.
More about Planet X coming right up. I might sit on it and make fun of you guys later.
Okay.
Blessings to all.